Hold it, fellas. That don't move me. Let's get real, real gone for a change.
It's time to get real gone on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Here's your host, James Riley.
This is Jim and James Riley on your favorite hour for great music and interviews. It's the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Hey, coming up, we chat with friends and frequent guests of the show, Tom Brown and Brian Mays from Nashville Elvis Festival, about what to expect in 2019 from them. And a big spotlight of our conversation is around the 50th anniversary of the Elvis TV special from 1968, often referred to as the 68 Comeback Special. We also hear new tunes from Al Dool, Southern Culture on the Skids, Devil's Daughters, and new Christmas tunes from J.D. McPherson, The Mavericks, and more. Let's start things off with a new Christmas tune just sent in the show from a recent guest, Daryl Higham. He's covering the Johnny Horton tune, They Shined Up Rudolph's Nose, on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour.
Rudolph's nose was frosty. It didn't give much light. Santa had his little elves shine it up so bright. Prancer and the others are dancing to and fro. They know Christmas time is near, 'cause they shined up Rudolph's nose. Christmas time's a-coming through into Wonderland. Everyone is happy down a frosty the old snowman. Rudolph's nose is shining bright, it looks just like a star. It'll help Santa find you, no matter where you are. Mama's kissing daddy beside the Christmas tree. All the other boys and girls are dancing to and fro. They know Christmas time is near, 'cause they shined up Rudolph's nose. Christmas times are coming through into Wonderland. Everyone is happy down a frosty the old snowman. It looks just like a star. It'll help Santa find you, no matter where you are. It looks just like a star. It'll help Santa find you, no matter where you are.
Hey everyone, this is Raul Mala from the Mavericks wishing you a Merry Christmas. Keep it tuned to the festive sounds here on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour.
Christmas, baby.
remix from their album Hey Merry Christmas. That's I Have Wanted You for Christmas. So much great new music being sent in, and I'm doing my best to try to cover all of it. Here's three in a row, brand new. Southern Culture on the Skids, The Devil's Daughters. And this one from 2018, Rockabilly Male Artist of the Year from the Ameripolitan Awards. It's Al Dool from his new EP, The Sun Session. This is But I Got the Girl on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour.
Well, I can feel, little baby, found you up with you. When the sound of senses smile you, there's one no one else with you. Cause I love you, woman, like you go, my honey. Look, I have no sin in my soul, but I've got a girl. Before I look at the ladies, trying to dance with you. But now I have the sweetest song, I only dance with you. Cause I love you, woman, like you go, my honey. Oh, I have the seed in my soul, but I've got a girl.
Hit it now! That's pretty!
Well, she's in my heart, that's the truth. Never ever feel blue, cause I love you, woman. That's the girl, my honey. Oh, I have the seed in my soul, but I've got a girl.
Hit it now!
She's in my heart, that's the truth. Never ever feel blue, cause I love you, woman. Like to kill my honey. But I have no seed in my soul, but I've got a girl. But I have no seed in my soul, but I've got a girl. But I have no seed in my soul, but I got a girl.
Follow me. world that I'd like to be. Whole lot of things that I'd like to be. Lot in this world that I'd like to be. Do it!
Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. We just heard Southern Culture on the Skids from Bootlegger's Choice and the tune Whole Lot of Things. A new EP from Devil's Donners before that, Annie Marie Lewis and Misty Moon, and of course Guitar Excellence from Danny B. Harvey. It's from the EP Revelations and the tune Pass That Bottle.
Hey, Jammin' James Riley on location yet again with now what we can call frequent guests on the show, not just return guests. Tupelo Tom Brown, Brian Mays from Nashville Elvis Festival. Fellas, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I'm so happy now to be have a special tag about the kind of guest I am now, so it's very exciting.
I've never that frequent at anything.
Yeah, I grew up.
It's kind of like Steve Martin on Saturday Night Live. He's now in the frequent club.
Is there a five-time club? Maybe I want a five-time club.
I'll get you a t-shirt for sure. So you had a successful Nashville Elvis Festival earlier this year, successful Elvis Week in Memphis, and it's the 50th anniversary of the comeback specials, what the hell we refer to it these days. So no shortage of great Elvis things happening. And so Brian, get us started. Tell us about some of the highlights of 2018 Nashville Elvis Festival.
Man, we had such a great time. We had sellout shows all the way through and some incredible talent. Bill Cherry, one of the best tribute artists out there. Dean Z. And Mark Anthony, who was our representative from the prior year. Legendary game show host Wink Martindale and his beautiful wife Sandy, who dated Elvis for years. Just some great people that came out and fans from all over the world just to really kind of embrace who Elvis was and celebrate his life.
Definitely a fun time. No shortage of Elvis fans out there, which is really cool. I want to highlight the 50th anniversary of the Singer Corporation-sponsored TV special, Singer Presents Elvis. Of course, we know it as the comeback special. And Colonel Parker, I think, initially wanted this to be a Christmas special. Is that right, Tom?
That's right. During this past Elvis week, I had Steve Bender, who was the producer producer-director of the special, Alan Bly, who was the writer, who was one of those names I remember from childhood writing Sonny and Cher and Smothers Brothers. I'd always see he and his partner, Chris Beard, Alan Bly. Billy Goldenberg, who was a musical director. They came and they were just talking about all the things that had gone on 50 years ago during that summer of 68 when they were working with Elvis putting the show together. And it was really a wonderful opportunity for these gentlemen who were, you know, 50 years older than they were in 68 to be able to hear the fans' reaction to their stories and working with Elvis. It was wonderful to see the looks on their face.
The impact, the far-reaching impact and long-lasting impact of this special. Brian, you and I weren't even born yet with the singer originally. Tom was pretty young there when it happened.
I watched it, actually. I think I saw it. So yeah.
I mean, but it's amazing just the that opening and setting the stage a little bit. His movies were starting to be not as successful. He had grown tired of the formula and the music, and this was a pretty bold move on Elvis's part. Was he all in, or was he nervous about it? What did you guys find out in talking to people?
In talking to the guys, especially with Alan Bly, the writer, who spent a lot of time with Elvis, you know, if you go back and look in 67, 68 at what musical specials were at that time, it was basically, you know, Dean Martin kind of special. Somebody would come out at the beginning and say, hey, well, thanks for being here and watching my special. My special guests are going to be, you know, Lola Falana and Harry Belafonte and Petula Clark, and we'll be right back after this. I mean, it was very formulaic the way they put specials together back at the time. And after they had met with Elvis and Colonel had said, you know, here's a cassette. These are all the Christmas songs that we want to have have in the special. That's all we want. We're going to have a Christmas album, and that's all you got to do. Just shoot these songs. And Steve Bender just said, I don't want to do that. And he sat down and talked to Elvis. And I think for the first time since Elvis had come back from the Army, he was challenged. He knew the films were not working. He knew that they were going down in box office, and he was not respected as an artist. And these guys who owed no allegiance to Colonel Parker, to RCA, to anyone in Elvis's camp, that were people that worked in Los Angeles in television and movies, they had nothing to gain or lose, and they wanted to work with Elvis, and they wanted to challenge him. And from all the stories they told, it was wonderful to hear that the spark came back to Elvis. And if you really think about it, the 68 special really set the stage for the next part of his career. It was the 68 special in December. He went to American Sound in January of 1969 and did Don't Cry Daddy and Suspicious Minds and all those great songs. And then in July of 69, opened in Vegas at the International. So from December to July, look at all that happened in his career, and it really kind of pushed it forward from there. So I have a hard time always calling it the comeback special, because to me, he never went anywhere. Sure. But I think it was a comeback to himself, and I think that one of the lines that Steve Bender, the producer-director, told me was, you know, that you're watching an artist find himself again. You're watching an artist realize, I still do have it, because it had been, the shine had been rubbed off by all the movies and the contact that Elvis had with an audience he had not had for a number of years. And they said he was afraid, he was scared, but he walked out on stage and he found himself. And that's what's so dramatic about him.
Hi, this is Tupelo Tom Brown from the Nashville Elvis Festival, and you're listening to Jammin' James Riley on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour.
You're looking for trouble? You came to the right place. Looking for trouble? Just look right in my face. I was born standing up and talking back. My daddy was a green-eyed man to judge me 'cause I'm evil. My middle name is Misery. Around with me. By sundown, I left Kingston with my guitar up my coat. I hitchhiked all the way down to Memphis, got a room at the YMCA. And for the next 3 weeks, I went to hunt them nights, I'll be looking for a place to play. Well, I thought my picket would set them on fire, but nobody wanted to hire a guitar man. Well, I nearly about starved to death down in Memphis. I run out of money and luck, so I bought me a ride down to Macon, Georgia on an overloaded boat. I bumped on down to Panama City, started picking out some of them all-night bars. I'm hoping I can make myself a dollar making music on my guitar. I got the same old story as them all-night beers. You know there ain't no room around here for a guitar man. So I slept in the hobo jungle. I roamed 1,000 miles to track. Till I found myself in Mobile, Alabama. Had a club they called Big Jack's. A little four-piece band with jammers. So I took my guitar and I set in. I showed them what a band would sound like. Oh, this way you little guitar man. Show them, son. Take a trip down to the ocean, find yourself down in Mobile. Meet a night to a club called Jackson, you got a little time to kill. And in spite of that crowd of people, you'll wind up out on his dead floor. And digging to find a little five-beater group up another guy from Mexico. Yes, who leaving that five-beater? But wouldn't you know, is that swinging a guitar?
infamous opening of the 68 comeback special 50 years ago, Elvis Presley and the medley, Trouble and Guitar Man.
Something hit me this morning. I knew I was going to talk about this, that I was born exactly like 9 months after the special hit. So obviously it had an impact on a lot of folks. And specifically, okay, let's just call it as it is. That black leather outfit was just, you know, such a different thing for him. You know, we were used to seeing him in the movies and stuff, but that image just brought back that rough and raw and just badass Elvis that we hadn't seen for a while.
Yeah, Steve Bender talked about he wanted Elvis to be that rebel, that bad boy from the 50s, and nothing better symbolized that to him than the black leather that Brando wore in The Wild Ones. And so it was Bender who's used his costume designer, Bill Ballou, and that started the relationship with Elvis and Bill Ballou. Elvis designed all of Elvis's jumpsuits for the rest of his life. So it was Steve Bender putting him in touch, but nothing Elvis wore in the 68 special was off the rack. Everything was made for him. And if you look, the blue denim he wears in the Guitar Man sequence is an exact copy of the jacket that's in the black leather. So it's just a denim version of the black leather.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and it was just fascinating to hear them tell the story about how they put the special together, that they went out and bought a bunch of records and figured out the songs they wanted to use and gave that list to Elvis, and he said, great. And they said, well, this is the format we want to do. It's kind of a Guitar Man, and he's going to find himself, and we're going to do this, and we're going to have you up in front of it. And Elvis said, great. And they said, don't you want to tweak or change anything? He said, no, it sounds great. Let's do it. And he was so excited. And there's so many different segments if you go back. Because so many times we look at that 68 special and we really only remember maybe the sit down with DJ and Scotty, which was a very small part of the original 68 special. It wasn't until the 80s that they put together like an hour-long special using all those outtakes of the acoustic stuff. But in the 68 special, it was very small, but there's all these segments. They call it the arena when Elvis is standing up, pacing back and forth on that boxing ring with no ropes, with the girls right on the edge of the stage, yeah, and the orchestra kind of off to stage left. That's called the arena section. That's what the guys called it when they were working on it. So it was fascinating to hear all the stories about how they put it together and what it meant to Elvis. But they said for each segment, he was like, guys, I don't think I can do this. And then walked out, took a breath, and just blew everybody away.
Baby, what do you want me to do?
This is Jim and James Riley, and you're tuned to the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. We just heard Elvis Presley from the stand-up portion, or arena portion as it's called, from the 68 comeback special, the 50th anniversary of that, a rockin' version of Baby What You Want Me To Do. Our guest this hour is Tom Brown and Brian Mays from the Nashville Elvis Festival.
You brought up the acoustic segment that, and really ahead of his time, people weren't sitting around just doing acoustic versions of stuff, and I really wish that he had have continued down that route with some of those, and I'd heard that, you know, maybe he wanted to record again with Scotty and DJ, and but
and that was the Elvis that Bender had seen in the dressing room when they were in rehearsals.
Yeah,
and he was like, well, there's got to be a way to get this out of the dressing room in front of an audience, and he talked to Elvis about it, and of course Colonel didn't want to do it, and Elvis says, well, if we do something like that, I've got to have Scotty and DJ because they're the ones that know all the stories with me. And Steve called Scotty and DJ and they didn't want to do it because they knew that, you know, years prior, Colonel had really kind of business-wise not treated them well, but they loved Elvis. And Steve says, well, would you do it for Elvis? And they said, well, we'll do it for Elvis. And they walked in and they had no rehearsals and they didn't know what they were going to do, and they all sat around and basically they just forgot about the camera and listened to Elvis and rolled with him. And so to have that kind of spontaneity, it was not rehearsed, and just before they walked out, Elvis says, I don't remember what I talked about, and Steve wrote down on a piece of paper some ideas of things that they had talked about. And so if you watch it now, you'll see Elvis with a little piece of paper going, all right, it says now to talk about this, so let's talk about that. And that was the piece of paper that Bender gave him just before he walked out, because he couldn't remember anything.
So Brian, when were you first introduced to this special?
Yeah, I was born in 73, so I missed the live airing. I was raised on Elvis. There were a lot of VHS tapes around our house growing up, so it must have been around the time, probably mid-80s, that it hit VHS for the first time. I know it was in the house, and I know we watched it a lot, along with, you know, just about everything else.
Is there a segment that impacted you from the whole special a little bit more than others, or did you have a favorite segment from it?
For me, it was always a sit-down, because you got to see Elvis's true personality, which, especially at that time, before a lot of things got released on YouTube later on, and all of that, you didn't really get to see him as Elvis very often. You saw the movie characters, you saw the performances, but just seeing his sense of humor, hearing his genuine laugh, things like that really kind of stuck out to me.
Hi, this is Brian Mays from Nashville Elvis Festival, and you're listening to Jammin' James Riley on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour.
I'll have a blue Christmas. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations are red on a green Christmas tree. Snowflakes start falling. That's when those blue memories start calling. You'll be doing all right with your Christmas alive. Have a blue, 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 blue Christmas. I'll have a blue Christmas without you, without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. You'll be due. Have a blue, blue, blue
Blue Christmas from the sit-down acoustic recordings made for the 68 Comeback Special that was taken from the 2018 Record Store Day release, The King and the Ring. We're talking with Tom Brown and Brian Mays from the Nashville Elvis Festival.
You know, what's interesting, some of the projects that have come out since on specifically the sit-down version is the, I think, Blue Christmas and Santa Claus is Back in Town. So they actually performed a couple of Christmas songs, but were they actually in the final version?
That was the mistake Bender said he made, was he fought Colonel the entire way about Christmas song. And during the sit-down, they had done Blue Christmas, an acoustic version of Blue Christmas, and it was not in the cut that they turned in to NBC and Colonel. And Colonel said, you've gotten... So they went back into edit and put Blue Christmas in so Colonel could feel like he won something. You know, Colonel would have ended with a Christmas song also, but it was Bender's idea with Elvis that Elvis wanted to make a statement, that he knew the last song in the special would be something that he really wanted to talk about himself, and he had never really made a political statement before, so... He kind of was interviewed by Earl Brown, the songwriter, and Billy Goldenberg, who was the musician that worked with Earl, and it was Elvis's words that Earl kind of turned into If I Can Dream. Mm. And because Elvis really wanted to make a statement, look at what had happened in 67. Martin Luther King had been killed in Elvis's hometown. Bobby Kennedy had been killed in Los Angeles. As a matter of fact, Bender and Elvis and all the guys were in Bender's office on Sunset in rehearsals at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, talking about stuff, and had the TV on when they heard the news that Bobby Kennedy had been shot at the Ambassador Hotel, which was not that far away in Los Angeles. Mm. So it was a heck of a year, and Elvis kind of capped it off with If I Can Dream. And that was his... He didn't make a lot of political statements, but when you do something like that that still applies today, that's a heck of a statement to make.
Wasn't there silence after he performed?
He had tracked it in the studio, and he wanted to lip sync it when they did it on camera. And Steve Bender said, if you'll do it once, sing it live. If we don't like it, we'll let you lip sync it. Because he knew he wanted Elvis's emotion to be in it. But they said in the studio when they cut it that it blew everybody away. And Elvis had Earl Brown play it over and over and over on the piano and kind of learned it in 15 minutes because of the way it was written and what it said. And it was funny, I asked Billy Goldenberg, you know, he was the music director. I said, what did you do on If I Can Dream? Because you and Earl were partners. And Billy actually took his name off the song because he said, no, Earl did everything. Billy said, well, all I contributed was, he said, Earl just started it on the verse and I contributed just a little intro. And I said, well, Billy, you know what? Because I knew the answer to this and I wanted the audience to hear Billy say it. He said, well, I came up with those, you know, those little notes that da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, that's pretty good eight notes, Billy. That's pretty good. That's right up there with da-da-da-da-da-da when Elvis walks on stage.
Yeah.
So that's what Billy Goldenberg did on the song. But it's a really important song. And as important as it was, what I think's amazing about it is Elvis never sang it again. Never sang it in concert. Wow. Never sang it again.
Be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why. Understanding sometime, strong winds of promise that will blow away the doubt and fear. If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining on everyone, tell me why. That's trouble with pain. But as long as a man
in my heart there's a trembling question. Still I am sure that the answer's gonna come somehow. Out there in the dark there's a beckoning candle, yeah. And while I can think, while I can talk, while I can stand, while I can walk, while I can dream, oh, please let my dream come true. Oh, oh, oh. Right now, let it come true right now. Oh, yeah.
If I Can Dream, one of Elvis's most loved performances. We're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the 68 Comeback Special. Let's get back to our chat with Tom Brown and Brian Mays from the Nashville Elvis Festival.
I have to admit, you know, I was messing with you a little bit earlier this year at Nashville Elvis Festival because your voice had gone. And so, you know, I'm ribbing you.
Kenny Rogers, though. I had a Kenny Rogers moment there. So, yeah.
Well, you did. And I was messing with you a little bit. You didn't have to blow it out on my account for being out here. But, you know, karma is interesting because 2 months later, I was having to MC at Nashville Boogie mm-hmm. for 4 days and voice just completely gone. So I'm like, well, you know, I got paid back. So, Brian, tell me about 2019 Nashville Elvis Festival. Third time, continues to grow. What's in store for folks?
Yeah, we've got some great stuff. D&Z's coming back, so we're excited about that. Brandon Bennett at Ultimate is making his first appearance. We've got our winner from this past year, Diogo Light from Brazil, will be with us, which is pretty great. We've got quite a few tribute artists, more than we've ever had before, and a very special guest, a guy named John Schneider, who people will know from the Dukes of Hazzard and Smallville and the Haves and the Have-Nots, and he's a country music artist in his own right with a really interesting Elvis connection.
Well, let's talk about that. His first single ever was cover of It's Now or Never, and he's got a new version coming, too. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, a lot of hits, mostly in the 80s in the country chart, and then he took kind of a sabbatical until recently, but his very first hit went to number 4 on the Billboard U.S. country chart, and it was It's Now or Never.
It's now or never. Come hold me tight. Kiss me, my darling. Be mine tonight.
It's the highest charting Elvis cover in any genre to date, which is pretty fascinating.
And what folks can't see is that earlier, Brian pulled out a box and unwrapped the belt buckle of Bo Duke when John was doing this on Dukes of Hazzard, and all of us were standing there in awe, which is pretty cool.
I just think it's great that he's such an Elvis fan that, you know, that would be his first single when he was the hottest thing on television and he could choose any song he wanted to be his first single. He did an Elvis song, which is a pretty amazing. And, you know, to know that we've got a judge that will be knowing what he's looking at. That's always fun. I think that's something special about what we try to do in Nashville is that our judges are really people that are professionals and or that worked with Elvis, knew Elvis, saw Elvis in concert. So it's always important, I think, that the guys are judged by someone that knows what they're looking at.
Brian, give us the dates and website and info for ticket info.
Absolutely. March 28 to 31, 2019. Tickets are on sale now at NashvilleElvisFestival.com.
Very cool, guys. Thanks again. I can't wait to do this again with my frequent collaborators on the show.
That's right, frequent. And I'm going to take a sabbatical myself 2 weeks prior to the festival. I'm not speaking. I'm saving up. I'm going to go on a Larry Hagman no speaking sabbatical that he used to do on Sundays. I'm going to do it for 2 weeks prior to the festival so I have a voice when it comes up. And I'll be ready for you when you come backstage.
You know what? Actually, maybe I should do that for Nashville Boogie as well.
I'm telling you, you should do it. You should rest the voice.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, James.
Hey, everybody. This is Dean Z. Keep it right here for more of the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour with Jammin' James Riley.
You're a heartbreaker. You're a lovemaker. Heartbreaker playing tear snatcher. You're a quarrel patcher, but you can't break my heart anymore. For I've just found someone else who should take your place. Someone I can always trust and fill this empty space. You're a heartbreaker, you're a love maker, but you can't break my heart anymore. You're a smooth talker, you're a real cool walker, but now we have talked out of turn. You're a high stepper, you're an eye catcher, but you won't catch my glances anymore. For I just found someone else who should take your place. Someone I can always trust and fill this empty space. You're a heartbreaker, you're a love maker, but you can't break my heart anymore. You're a heartbreaker, you're a love maker, a heartbreaker blinking with fire. You're a tear snatcher, you're a quarrel patcher, but you can't break my heart anymore. For I'm just about someone else who should take your place. Someone I can always trust and fill this empty space. You're a heartbreaker, you're a lovemaker, but you can't break my heart anymore.
It's your source for rockabilly blues, early country, early rock and roll, and Ameripolitan music. It's the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. We just heard Dean Z from his Sun Sessions project, and You're a Heartbreaker. Now, as I mentioned at the start of the show, there's a brand new Christmas release from J.D. McPherson that will feature all month long. It's a full album of rockin' original Christmas tunes titled Socks. From that project, here's Bad Kid.
Hey, this is J.D. McPherson, and I'm digging the festive sounds of the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Well, Christmas time is a time to be good, but baby, I'm a bad, bad kid. A stocking full of kerosene, matches, and wood, 'cause baby, I'm a bad, bad kid. Government surveillance since I started to walk, ain't no telling what I. I'm just misunderstood, but you know I'm just a bad, bad kid. Daddy told Mama last Christmas Eve, you know we got a bad, bad kid. He's got a black leather jacket and a real mean streak. I guess he's just a bad, bad kid. He knocked off the Macy's and my uncle's antiques, hocked him for a 49 quid. He's on a Mama, he's a bad, bad kid. I can't help it, I was born like this. A permanent spot on the naughty list. I never get a present, Santa scratching his head. How'd a little fella get so misled? Never get a present and a scratch in his head. How'd a little fella get so misled? In the downtown store on a silent night, holding on to Mama's hand. In the toy department, people waiting in line, looking to meet the fat man. Oh, Kringle felt a tingle running up his spine. He saw me then he run. Bad kid.
that bad then.
Christmas is a little old you. I don't
the snow. All I want for Christmas is my baby. All I want for Christmas is that maybe you can keep your Christmas both white and blue. 'Cause all I want for Christmas is you.
This time of year, everyone's happy, everyone's giving, always laughing. Songs of joy they'll be singing, sleigh bells ringing as I wait for you. This Christmas, as it is snowing and the fire's glowing, my heart aches for you. I wrote a letter to Santa. I know it's silly, but what harm could it do? Santa, please bring him home.
Please bring him home.
Santa, please bring him home.
Please bring him home.
Santa, please bring him home.
Please bring him home.
That's all I want.
All I want.
The lights are all brightly shining as I am pining and praying for you. I wrote a letter to Santa to end this heartache, and I hope it got through. Santa, please bring him home.
Please bring him home.
Santa, please bring him home.
Please bring him home.
Santa, please bring him home.
Please bring him home.
That's all I want.
All I want.
Santa,
please bring him home.
It's Ginny Don't and the Spurs, and Santa, please bring him back. 2018 Rockabilly Group winners at the Ameripolitan Music Awards, the Go-Getters before that, and All I Want for Christmas, Lily Locksmith in the mix.